All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are talking about the Falcons signing of Adrian Claiborne, how it impacts their football team, as well as their upcoming draft plans.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years at FalcFans.com, on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the Falcons re-signing of Adrian Claiborne after a year with the New England Patriots. We're going to talk a little bit about them bringing in Tyler Davidson, a former Saints defensive tackle, for a free agent visit, and sort of what these moves how these moves or potential moves in the case of Davidson could impact their draft plans. And we'll once again talk about their strategy, which we'll probably discuss ad nauseum for the next two weeks leading up to the draft. So, you know, we got the good news. Adrian Claiborne is coming back on a 1-year deal worth up to $4 million. I was very pumped when I saw this news. You know, it was surprising to me at the beginning of the offseason that the Patriots actually cut Claiborne, because I thought once they got Michael Bennett and they were going to have him and Claiborne rushing on the same defensive line, and that was sort of a dream of mine. I'm sure many of you guys out there many years ago here in Atlanta, or not that many years ago here in Atlanta. And, you know, it was interesting that it seemed like various reports were indicating that Claiborne asked to be cut. So that was interesting. But the Falcons were, you know, I'm not complaining about him asking for his release because now he's back in Atlanta. And I was very hopeful that the Falcons would bring him back once he got cut. But, you know, as we got closer to the draft and there was really no movement on that, those sort of hopes sort of ran dry. And we've seen the team with guys like Sean Harlow and Jermaine Grace and Brian Hill cut guys and bring them back. But then, you know, the Cappies and the Joey Imbus of the world seem to get cut and not get brought back. And so, you know, maybe it's a coincidence that those are defensive linemen. But as we got further and further along, I wasn't necessarily as optimistic that they would wind up bringing Claiborne back. But they did. I think this is a good move for the Falcons. I think you're getting a quality third option in your pass rush, bringing him to Atlanta. Now you're not necessarily going to have to rely on Vic Beasley to be anything more than what he is. Obviously, you want him to be more than what he has been the last two seasons. But if he's not, then it's not going to necessarily drag down your pass rush, which I would argue it kind of did in 2017. I think Claiborne's coming off a season, if I'm not mistaken, he had 4 sacks, but he had 12 hits on the quarterback. Pro Football Focus clocked him at 48 total pressures, including 9 in a postseason. He had a very good game against the Chargers. I think Next Gen Stats had him with the best pressure rate in the NFL last year. I think Tack McKinley was like 3rd or 4th on that list as well. So I think we'll continue to see Claiborne get after the quarterback in the nickel sub package. I do think there's something left in the tank. I don't know if we're going to get 2017 Adrian Claiborne back, but I do expect at the very least we should get 2015, 2016 Adrian Claiborne, which was a very good player. And relative to those teams, was arguably the team's best pass rusher, particularly in 2016. And, you know, I think what we'll likely see is him get more opportunities rushing on the interior, which is what he did a lot in New England last year. And we saw him do that a lot in 2015, his first year in Atlanta, and not as much in 2016 and 2017 as he got further along, spending more time at the edge, at defensive end rather than playing inside. But I think having Tack McKinley and his ability to kick inside gives the Falcons some flexibility there, where they can line those two guys up probably on the right side of the defensive line, and, you know, be a little bit flexible in terms of how they utilize those guys and looking at matchups and saying, okay, this, you know, Claiborne would be a better going up against this guard, or Tack will be better against this guard, or Claiborne will be better against this tackle, Tack will be better against the tackle. And you can sort of move those guys around and maximize their potential playing next to each other. So I think that's a good thing. Claiborne's going to play exclusively on the right side of the defensive line for the Falcons due to his Earp's palsy. For those of you that aren't in the know, that's something he was born with, where basically his right arm is not as strong as his left arm due to some nerve damage. And that means that he's going to be forced to play on the right side of the defensive line against the left side of the offensive line, because that way he can use his left arm to sort of basically use it on those chops and those rips that we all know and love, that we're going to continue to see from Adrian Claiborne in 2019. And, you know, I used to hold it against Adrian Claiborne that he had, you know, Herb's palsy, and he was this, you know, quote unquote, one-armed pass rusher. And I was always like, oh, well, we can get a guy that, you know, is just as good, or it's going to be better because he can use both of his arms and be a little bit more flexible and play on both sides of the defensive line. But I think the thing that Claiborne, and the thing that I really respect about Claiborne, and while I was, you know, disgruntled and not necessarily a huge, huge fan of his after the 2015 season, but watching him in 2016 and watching him in 2017, was how much improvement he made in those years in basically working on his hand uses, working on his technique to get the most, even if he is a quote-unquote one-armed pass rusher, he gets more out of that one arm than a lot of other pass rushers do with two arms. So, and that owes to sort of the detail work that he does with his hands and whatnot. Where last offseason and this past season, we talked quite a bit about sort of how damaging it was for the Falcons to lose both Adrian Claiborne and Dontari Poe, and that proved very problematic for their pass rush this past season, because those two guys were arguably their best pass rushers. I think there's no argument that Claiborne was definitely their best pass rusher. You can make an argument for whether Poe was number two or number three or whatever. But, you know, the Falcons were sort of relying on guys like Tack coaching him up, coaching up Vic Beasley, him having a rebound year, coaching up Grady Jarrett to make that sort of leap in this season to adequately replace the production that they were losing in both Claiborne and Poe. And, you know, again, I don't necessarily know if the guy that we saw in 2017 in Claiborne is going to show up, but I do think he can be sort of a 40 pressure guy based off of his Pro Football Focus data. I think it was like a 58, 56, close to 60 pressure guy in 2017. So, you know, 40 is pretty consistently what he's been getting for, you know, the last couple of years. And I think that's realistically to expect for him this year. So we'll talk about sort of how that affects the Falcons draft plans. But first, I want to talk about an additional move that the Falcons could wind up making on the defensive line with bringing in ex-Saints defensive tackle Tyler Davidson for a free agent visit. You know, but we'll get to that in a moment. But before we do, I want to let you guys know that you can find a daily podcast devoted to all 30 NBA teams on the NBA side of the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Hawks Podcast with host Brad Rowland. Find that on whatever podcast platform you prefer, including the new Himalaya app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, Himalaya has you covered with their carefully curated playlists and new features every day. Download the Himalaya app at your app store, your team every day. So the Falcons, we talked about this briefly on yesterday's episode with Kevin Knight, but the Falcons brought in ex-Saints defensive tackle Tyler Davidson for a visit on Monday. He is a free agent that is obviously unsigned. For those of you that need a little bit of background on Tyler Davidson, because I know he's not a household name, he was a fifth-round pick out of Fresno State for the Saints back in 2015. He's been a solid rotational piece for him. Still relatively young. I think he's going to turn 27 in September. He's made his living in New Orleans, particularly the last couple of years, playing as a run-stuffing one technique. And for those of you guys that don't understand when I throw out terms like one tech and three tech, which we will probably wind up talking quite a bit about in the coming weeks leading up to the draft, when we're talking about evaluating players and projecting players and what roles they're going to have in the NFL and potentially with the Falcons. The techniques are sort of depending on where you line up on the defensive line and in conjunction to where you line up in contrast to the offensive lineman. And so one technique is sort of the nose tackle that you commonly see in the 4-3 defense, where he's basically shaded over the center's outside shoulder in the A-gap. And if you listen to Monday's episode, we talked about different gaps in when we broke down the linebacker position. The zero technique is the classic nose tackle. Often when you hear the term nose tackle, they're referring to a zero technique, which is sort of what you get in a 3-4 defense, where he lines up directly over the center And the way that you can sort of remember this is even techniques, even numbers, 0, 2, 4, et cetera, are when a player lines up directly over an offensive lineman, and odd numbers are when he's sort of shaded to that offensive lineman's outside shoulder. So a 2 technique is face up against the guard. A 3 technique is lined up to his outside shoulder. 4 technique is over the offensive tackle. 5 technique is over his outside shoulder. 6 faces up the tight end. 7 outside shoulder. 9 technique is that sort of wide 9 where he's really out there, lined up wide of the offensive tackle or tight end. Davidson made his living as a 1 technique, been particularly good the last 2 years as a rotational piece. He's going to help beef up the Falcons run defense if they choose to sign him, help them out in the base defense. We'll have to sort of see if they do sign him. I hope they do. We talked with Kevin again, as I mentioned on yesterday's episode, and he sort of mentioned that he thought the Falcons would be looking at Davidson as potentially a post-draft addition, not someone that they would pick up before the draft. I can certainly understand why Kevin believes that, and I'm sure many of you also sort of think that. But I'm personally hopeful that they do snag him before the draft. I just think you got to keep building up your stable of defensive linemen, and it's been a little bit frustrating, although not completely unexpected, that the Falcons would sort of, you know, drag their feet in terms of adding defensive linemen in free agency and sort of now getting Claiborne and possibly getting Davidson in the near future, you know, get some pep into their step, I guess you could say. And we talked about, I think, on one of the episodes last week when we sort of broke down the team's needs and we broke down the roster. And I think I mentioned that you need 8 guys. Typically, the Falcons have 8 guys in their defensive line rotation on game days. And now if you add Davidson to the mix with Claiborne, added to Sanat, Means, Crawford, Jarrett, and Tack, and Beasley, now you have an 8-man rotation, presumably, at that point in time. But I don't think that should stop the Falcons from building on that in the draft, particularly given the fact that Claiborne, Beasley, Means, Crawford are essentially operating on their 1-year contracts. Jarrett technically is as well, but obviously most of us hope that that gets rectified this summer with a long-term contract for him. So you don't want to be in a situation where you just sort of, even if you sign these guys, that you go into this draft and be like, oh yeah, we're fine at defensive lineman, because you're going to be right back in the situation next offseason where you're going to have a number of guys and probably a significant number of those guys walk in free agency because guys like Means and Claiborne are going to be older. Crawford's going to be on the wrong side of 30. Beasley's probably going to walk as well. And so you're then stuck with basically Jared and Deidre Sanat and Tack as the only guys potentially on your roster, and you're going to have to go right back to that well. And so I think, you know, being deep at this position is something that we've been striving for and talking about. We look at a team like the Eagles with, you know, a lot of sort of envy these last couple of years where, you know, we say the rich get richer every offseason, where they pick up guys like Malik Jackson and Michael Bennion and Haloti Ngata and Timmy Jernigan, et cetera. And that's kind of, you know, obviously I'm not expecting the Falcons to get that overnight, but you got to build towards that. And adding some of these guys, you know, I think helps. And I think one of the reasons why the 2017 defense was one of the better Falcon defenses we've seen in a long time was due to the depth of their D-line rotation. And I know they were particularly thin that year at defensive tackle, which is one of the reasons why they picked up Ataba Rubin midseason, particularly after Jack Crawford's injury. But they were pretty deep at the defensive end position with a stable of 5 guys, and having guys like Claiborne and Tack and Reed, particularly at that defensive end spot, and being as productive as they were, meant that the fact that Vic Beasley was not being that productive and sort of had a ho-hum year didn't really negatively impact the team in the same way that it did arguably in 2018. And then you had Poe and obviously Jarrett getting the job done on the inside with Ruben making contributions as well. You know, so basically for me, like these 2 moves, the last 48 hours of hearing the Falcons bring in a guy for a visit, Davidson, and signing Adrian Claiborne practically overnight has sort of given me some sliver of a hope that the Falcons can have at least something comparable, not necessarily to the Eagles defensive line, but to at least their 2017 unit, potentially with some of these moves. And, you know, Davidson's not really going to give you much of anything as a pass rusher, but, you know, he is a significant upgrade in as far as the run defense goes. And even though I might say things otherwise on Twitter, and I know a couple of you guys, we've gotten into some of these debates on Twitter, I do think running, you know, defending the run is valuable. I don't think it's worthless or anything. I just don't think it's, you know, defending the run is as valuable as rushing the quarterback. And, you know, particularly where it comes when you should or should not draft players, depending on how they are graded in those areas. And speaking of that, we'll talk about sort of what the Falcons' draft plans are now, potentially with the addition of Claiborne. And but before we get there, I do want to let you guys know you guys should be checking out the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, where host Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak are giving you daily guest mock drafts. Recently had a good friend of mine and a past guest of this podcast, Gina Thomas, on to pick the Falcons pick. They're going through each pick, having different experts for each team picking the players. And I think you guys should be following along. If you're not, find the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on your favorite podcast platform, including the Himalaya app, your team every day. So, you know, after the Falcons have signed Adrian Claiborne, how does this impact their draft plans? Does this mean that the Falcons will draft an offensive tackle now in round one? Maybe. I certainly would say that I feel like that is much more plausible today than it was yesterday, when, if you had asked me, where when I was talking to Kevin, in the back of my mind, I'm like, they're taking an edge. Not 100%, but I felt strongly about it. I still think if Brian Burns is going to be there at pick 14, I still think he would be the pick. But if it was to come down to, say, Cleveland Farrell out of Clemson versus some of the top offensive tackles like a Jawan Taylor or Jonah Williams or Cody Ford, I do think the Falcons would probably take one of those offensive tackles over Cleveland Farrell. You know, and I think, you know, I'm like 12% more confident in that opinion today than I was yesterday. Now, tomorrow, we'll see if I'm more or less confident in that opinion, and certainly by the time we get to April 25th, I reserve the right to be more or less confident in those opinions as we get there. You know, hopefully, I would say by the time we get to the draft, I will like to have given you guys sort of a definitive draft board and maybe rank the top 15 guys that I think will be on the Falcons draft board, a predictive board, as well as sort of give you my thoughts on those particular players. And so maybe we can save that for the week of the draft, which is probably the earliest we could possibly get it done. But knowing my tendency to procrastinate on things. But going back to the addition, the topic at hand, the addition of Claiborne, and particularly if they add Davidson, I think the Falcons, it means the Falcons can afford to be a little bit patient when it comes to drafting a defensive lineman or a pass rusher early in the draft. You know, Claiborne is really just a one-year fix, and you know, I use the term fix loosely in that regard because he doesn't solve the Falcons' pass rush issues. But I think it's a good fix in the likelihood that he's going to be pretty productive this year and probably more productive than you can expect out of a rookie. Again, Tack McKinley was one of the better rookies, pass rushers in his draft class, and he only got, like, he got a little bit less than 40 pressures that year, if I'm not mistaken. And as I said, Claiborne is a pretty consistent 40 pressure guy. So, you know, 40 versus 35-ish, those types of numbers, that's, you know, better. So I think, you know, this doesn't mean the Falcons are going to be able to afford to punt on the pass rush this draft. But I do think this addition does give them the chance to be a little bit patient and maybe potentially wait until round three to add a defensive lineman. And if that's the case, then so be it. You know, I think this is a thing that I've talked about a number of times in reference to a lot of topics when it comes to the Falcons drafts. But I think it's, you know, they have a lot of flexibility now. And we talked about this with the trade up possibility, which, again, I don't think is likely that they're going to trade up. But it's certainly possible. And I think because of the way that they've maneuvered this offseason, they at least have the flexibility to do it. It's feasible. And I think, you know, there's still very likely that the Falcons will target a pass rusher very early in this draft, particularly in the first or if not second round. But I think they now have the flexibility that potentially, if they wanted to, they could take an offensive tackle in round one and take a cornerback in round two. And it wouldn't necessarily be the end of the world as it seemingly would have seemed like 24 hours ago. And, you know, last year they didn't get Michael Bennett in that trade and they let Polk go. They let Claiborne walk. And they didn't really sign anybody pre-draft. And it felt like, at least for me, and I talked about this on the podcast at the time, it felt like to me that they had to take a defensive tackle with their number one pick. And then they, of course, zigged when we thought they would zag and took Calvin Ridley with that number one pick. And they didn't get the defensive tackle that we all sort of thought that they needed until round three with Deidre Sanott. And the problem was, Deidre Sanott's not really a guy that's going to help your pass rush, at least not in year one. Hopefully he can continue to develop in that role as the years come, but he's, you know, he's not going to be known for his great pass rush ability, in my opinion, in the pros, even if he does reach his ceiling in that regard. And then after the draft, the Falcons added Terrell McClain, who's another guy who's not necessarily going to bring much juice as a pass rusher. And so it was essentially the Falcons were standing pat on their, you know, pass rush based off of their offseason moves last year. And again, going back to what I said earlier, they were basically putting all their eggs in the basket of Tack making the leap and Jarrett making the leap and Vic Beasley having this rebound season. And Jarrett did make the leap. And for at least half a season, if you sort of dismiss sort of that middle portion of the season where Tack practically disappeared, you know, Tack did make a significant leap last season. You can argue that Vic Beasley regressed, at least when you focus in on, you know, his lack of production in the second half of 2018. But, you know, that gamble that the Falcons did last year by not adding anything to their pass rush obviously did not pay off for them in the slightest. And, you know, I said this a couple of months ago. I'll say it again. I think betting on the current roster to make improvements is a better bet in 2019 than it was going into 2018, because I do think Tack is potentially poised to have a quote-unquote breakout year now going into year three. And I think, even though I don't expect much from Beasley, I think now that you've added Claiborne, I don't have to go into the season being like, well, Vic Beasley's going to have to get 10 sacks or else. And that was kind of the feeling that I've been having for months. And I'm sure many of you have been having existential crises for the last couple of months because you've had that same sort of dread of putting all the stock into Vic Beasley. And so I think, you know, you look at a soon-to-be 31-year-old Adrian Claiborne, you know, I think he's going to be better in 2019 than Vic Beasley's going to be. You know, and I think the very least you can say about this move of adding Adrian Claiborne is that the Falcons aren't standing pat. And so I don't think this is a move that's going to single-handedly push the Falcons defense into, you know, the next tier or anything like that, or make this team a Super Bowl team, or again, you know, put them on par with the Eagles as, you know, having this super deep D-line rotation that is the envy of the entire league. No, of course I don't think any of those things. You know, I'm still the grounded person that I've always been. But I do like the move, and I think what it really does show is that they learned their lesson from a year ago. And, you know, I'm the king of nitpickers. I'm always sort of scrutinizing every single thing that this team does, and it, you know, rightfully and understandably gets me a reputation for being overly negative and overly critical, because, you know, I do believe that these little things do add up, but I don't also believe that, you know, everything's going to go your way. And, you know, I do like to try to take a step back and try not to be overly critical, although, you know, you can tell me whether I succeed in that. I don't expect perfection in that way. And I think, you know, not every move's going to work out. Not every signing's going to work out. Not every draft pick's going to work out. But if you try, I will give you credit. I will give you points for making an effort. And, you know, one of the things I always say is you reap what you sow. But if you don't plant any seeds, if you don't make an effort to plant any seeds in this metaphor, you're not going to reap anything at harvest and you're going to starve. And so that's been some one of the frustrations that I've had for many years over the Falcons. And this was a much bigger issue with the Mike Smith regime than it has been with the Dan Quinn regime. But it's one of the things that, because it's been less of an issue with the Dan Quinn regime, every time it seems to happen, it becomes a little bit more frustrating, because it's like, oh, we rewinding back to 2013 or 2012 or whenever it was under the Mike Smith regime with the Falcons just sort of twiddling their thumbs. And, you know, I try to give the team credit when they make attempts, and I feel like this is an attempt. You know, is adding Adrian Claiborne and potentially Tyler Davidson the same as adding Malik Jackson and Justin Houston? Obviously not. But it's an attempt, and I think, you know, at least you can make an argument if you're feeling particularly, you know, optimistic, that these are really good bargain moves and potentially, you know, dollar for dollar, depending on sort of what Claiborne's contract actually works out to be. I imagine a lot of it is incentives. So it's probably closer to $2 million than it is to $4 million over this 1 year. And, we'll, you know, if they do sign Davidson, we'll see sort of how much money he's going to make, which, again, I think is probably going to be on the lower, you know, below $2 million or something like that, somewhere between $1 and $2 million. And so I think you can make an argument dollar for dollar. Those are pretty good moves, you know, at least comparable potentially to maybe signing Jackson and Houston. They obviously won't have the same impact as those guys, but, you know, you'll get a better bang for your buck, at least dollar for dollar. So I'd certainly applaud this move. I hope that they wind up signing Davidson at some point this offseason, whether it's before the draft or after the draft. And if they do, I will applaud that move. So, you know, so far the Falcons, if they keep doing what they're doing, they actually might turn this podcast into a positive platform. So, you know, that'd be pretty crazy. That'd be a stark change. You know, we'll see sort of what's in store for the next couple of days and weeks. But if you want to provide your feedback on this move or any potential moves, you can do so on Twitter at Lockdown Falcons, Facebook Lockdown Falcons. The email address is lockdownfalcons@mail.com. You can also leave a comment at falcons.com where the podcast is posted daily. Until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.